Amen. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7 says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." I'd like us to think just for a moment or two of the question, why do Christians suffer? There isn't a doubt about it. Suffering is common in this world, in this life. And it is a common experience, even for the believer, even for the child of God. We all have to admit and recognize and acknowledge today, life is full of pain. Life can be full of hurt. And suffering comes from different areas, different aspects of life. Comes from our circumstances, comes from our health, it comes from our losses. We've mentioned bereavements today already. It comes from other people, often the people that we love and support and help the most. It can be many times in life they're the people that hurt us, cause us the most pain by what they do, the places they go, the company they keep, and so on. But it is inevitable, brethren and sisters, in those sort of circumstances when we're experiencing pain, when we're suffering as the Lord's people, it is inevitable for us in those circumstances to ask this question: why? Why has this happened to me? Why have these circumstances befallen me? Why has this come to my door, to my family? Why is it that the Lord would allow this or permit this to happen to us? Well, here is a passage, brethren and sisters, from which we learn the answer to those questions. The Apostle Paul tells us here in some detail, he tells us some of the circumstances of his own sufferings. He tells us of his own suffering experience. He speaks here about a thorn in the flesh. It's a very interesting study to consider what that thorn actually was. I'll not take the time to do that this morning, just simply to say I believe it was an eye condition or an eye disease, perhaps something that he received or happened as a result of the brightness of the light when he met the Lord Jesus on the Damascus Road. But he had a thorn in the flesh. And the reality is, whatever it was painful. It was something that he suffered from, because he describes it in these verses as a thorn. And it was a thorn in his flesh. It was something that he experienced in his own body. A painful experience bodily that the Apostle Paul had. But in these verses, what he does is this. He tells us the lessons that he had learned from that suffering experience. And remember that he tells these lessons for our benefit, for our help. He gives us here in these verses, as he shares these lessons with us, he gives us the reasons why believers suffer in this world and in this life. So I want to list, for your help I trust, some of those reasons for you this morning. One reason why the Lord allows us to suffer is to do with pride. Did you notice that verse 7 begins and ends with the same words? Lest I should be exalted above measure. The reality is, brethren and sisters, believers can get proud. Maybe that describes you today. Even Christians can get puffed up. They can get high-minded. You think of how often pride is addressed and mentioned in the Word of God. Think of Paul's caution. We're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought, and yet often we do. You think of the repeated commands in the Scriptures to humble ourselves. Think of Peter's words, were to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Think of the instruction given to a congregation as they go to choose
a man who is to be an elder of the church, he's not to be a novice. And the reason he's not to be a novice is lest being lifted up with pride as he's put into that office, he falls into the condemnation of the devil. So from those scriptures alone, we realise Christians can get proud, especially those who are privileged, maybe in privileged positions, those who have known the blessing of God in a very definite, a very remarkable manner upon their life and upon their service. Think of men like Paul. Even Paul, the mighty apostle, could get proud. Paul had been highly privileged. He speaks in this passage of the abundance of the revelations. Now, let me point out, that's not a reference to Paul's writing of the scriptures. He basically wrote half of the New Testament under inspiration, but the abundance of the revelations here is his personal meetings with Christ, his personal and direct messages from Christ. And a man in that position, a man with all of those exceptional experiences, that man could get proud. He could get puffed up. So in order to keep him humble, in order to keep him lowly, the Lord in his great infinite wisdom gave him a thorn in the flesh. The Lord allowed him, caused him to suffer. So you ask today, why do Christians suffer in this world? One answer is pride, brethren and sisters, pride. Listen to the words of Moses. He's addressing the children of Israel before the Lord called them home, and he said, "Thou shalt remember." So take a moment or two to remember, brethren and sisters. Look back on your own life. "Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee." To humble thee. So why did God lead Israel through the wilderness, that waste, howling wilderness? Why did the Lord allow the wilderness wanderings to last for a period of 40 years? And remember, 40 in the scriptures is the number of testing, the number of probation for 40 years. Why did the Lord allow that? With all the discomforts, all the difficulties, all the pain, all the challenges. One reason for it, Moses tells us, it was to knock the pride out of them. Knock the pride out of God's people. And remember, that's a picture of the Christian life, those wilderness wanderings. That's what we're doing. We're wandering through this wilderness, the wilderness of this world. So you ask today, why does God lead me along this path? Why has the Lord allowed me to walk this way? Well, perhaps one answer is to humble you, lest you should be exalted above measure. Another reason why the Lord allows sufferings has to do with prayer. It's true that Christians can get prayerless. They faint in prayer. Maybe that's your condition today. You've become a prayerless Christian. When all is well, when we are prospering, it's possible to neglect the place of prayer, to forget about God. You don't spend the time with the Lord. You don't have your quiet time. You don't come to the prayer meetings of the church as you should. And therefore, to keep you praying, keep you on your knees, keep you close to God, he sometimes causes us to suffer. He brings something very difficult into our lives, something that we can't deal with, something that we can't handle ourselves. And the result of that is it turns us to the throne of grace. It turns us to the Lord at the mercy seat. So suffering, brethren and sisters, is used of the Lord to keep us praying. And that's what happened here with the apostle. Look at verse 8. He says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." So what did Paul do when he was afflicted, when he was suffering all of that pain in his body? The Bible teaches us here he prayed. The suffering drew him nearer to the Lord. It strengthened his prayer life. The pain drove him to his knees. You ask today, why do God's people sometimes suffer as they do? The extremity of the pain and the sufferings that they have. Well, the answer is prayer, brethren and sisters. Prayer. It's a signal from God. It's a message from the Lord to your heart that perhaps you've become prayerless. You're growing cold. You're slipping away from the Lord. If you read the story of John Wesley, John Wesley had a very difficult marriage. There's times that his wife pulled his hair out. There's times that he found her drunk, lying on the floor of their home. Very, very difficult circumstances. But this is what he said. He was actually at a conference of ministers, and they were speaking about their wives, and they were speaking about the great help and support that their wives were to them in their ministry, and they all knew that he was going to be the last to speak that day. What would he say? And this is what he said. I have greater cause to thank the Lord for my wife than any of these brethren have. And he said the reason for that is she has kept me closer to the Lord, kept me more upon my knees than I ever would have been otherwise. So suffering causes us to pray. Do you remember what James said? Is any among you afflicted? Is that true of somebody here this morning? You have troubles, problems, pain, heartaches. Well, what do you do? Well, let James give you the answer. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. There's the simple answer, men and women. If you're suffering, what God wants you to do, what the Lord wants you to learn today is this. He wants you to learn to keep praying. Keep near to him. Not to neglect the mercy seat. From every stormy wind that blows, from every swelling tide of woes, there is a calm, a safe retreat. 'Tis found beneath the mercy seat. Another reason why the Lord allows us to suffer has to do with provision. That is God's provision for his people. And remember that one of God's greatest provisions for us as his people is grace. Not only saving grace. If you're out of Christ today, what a blessing that is. To know that there's grace to save you from the depths of your sins. But not only is there saving grace, there's also helping grace. Paul spoke about it writing to the Hebrews. Grace to help in time of need. Is that where you are today? A time of need, a time of great need for you, for your home, for your family. Well, the Lord has a provision for you. Grace to help. James said, he giveth more grace. You've known God's grace in the past many times. Well, he's able to give that grace again. Peter said, he's the God of all grace. So it doesn't matter what your situation. It doesn't matter what circumstance. It doesn't matter how great your need. He's the God of all grace. Can I encourage you? An interesting study. Take the concordance. Just go through the verses. Even if you just do it in the New Testament. All the verses where the grace of God is spoken about. Meditate upon them. What a help and blessing that will be. So brethren and sisters, God has provided grace to help us in our needs, in our extremity. And Paul speaks of it here. Those lovely words, ponder them carefully. My grace is sufficient for thee. Isn't that a sweet message, brethren and sisters? Just consider it carefully. What a provision it is. Notice it's a present provision. He says, is. My grace is. It's not that it was or it will be. It's yours now, not tomorrow. You can have it today. And not only is it present, but it's plentiful because he says, my grace is sufficient. Whatever your situation, you'll never exhaust this grace of God. It's all, my friend, that you will ever need, regardless of what you have to deal with and face in this world and in this life. So God has provided his grace for you in a plentiful manner. But tell me this, just think of it. How could you ever experience that grace? How could you ever prove it and prove the sufficiency of it? Except you find yourself in circumstances that are desperate. Except you find yourself in a situation that is extreme and that is painful. You ask this morning as you sit in the house of God, why am I in these circumstances? Why am I going through this agony and this heartache? Well, one of the answers, men and women, Paul gives us here, 2 Corinthians 12, is so that you can prove his grace. So that you can prove in your own heart, your own life, the greatness of God's provision for you. There's another reason, a fourth one, why the Lord allows us to suffer. That is to do with power. God's power in our lives. If you look at verse 9 of the chapter, he says in the middle of the verse, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness." That's the Lord's words to Paul. You know, it may seem strange, brethren and sisters. Just think of this carefully. It may seem strange. But the reality is that most people, even most Christians, are not too weak to have God's power. They are too strong. Most Christians don't turn to the Lord for his help and for his support and for his power for this reason. Because they're too self-confident. They trust too much in themselves. They depend too much upon their own ability, their own talents, their own physical strength, their own flesh. Their trust is in the flesh. And the reality is that we need to feel our weakness. We need to know beyond all doubt our feebleness before we will turn to God and seek his power. And what that means, men and women, is that sometimes the Lord has to touch us. Remember Jacob wrestling with the Lord at Peniel, and the Lord touched him to weaken him. Touched the hollow of his thigh. The Bible says after that he limped. His walk, his physical walk, for the rest of his days was never the same again. And there's times the Lord has to do the same with us, men and women. He needs to touch us, to weaken us, to cause us to suffer. He has to take away our self-confidence, our trust in ourselves, our trust in the flesh. So you ask today, why am I suffering? Could it be? The answer is, you're too self-confident, and the Lord is bringing you to that place, bringing you to that point where you cast yourself and you cast your all upon him. You're depending and trusting completely upon the Lord and in his help. The other reason Paul gives in this passage as to why the Lord allows us to suffer is patience. If you look again at verse 8, he says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." Paul had prayed thrice, it says, or three times. What that means is the Lord didn't answer his prayer immediately. He had to wait. The Lord caused him to wait on the answer coming, and when the answer came, it wasn't the answer that he wanted. It wasn't the answer that he expected. He wanted the Lord to take away the affliction, the infirmity. But the Lord said, "No, Paul, you're going to have to live with it, but I'll give you the grace to be able to live with it." But what I want you to see especially, as you think of those three times that he prayed, waiting on the Lord's answer, is the Lord taught him patience. Taught him patience. And that's one of the things that all suffering does in the lives of Christians. It is true, brethren and sisters, it's true of all of us this morning. We lack the patience that we need, particularly in this 21st century. It's the result of the society in which we're found, the generation in which we're a part of. The book of Hebrews says, "Ye have need of patience." And it doesn't matter who you are today, every one of us in this meeting, that verse addresses our hearts, and that verse speaks to you. Ye have need of patience. You ask today, how do I get patience? How do I become more patient? Well, the answer may seem strange, men and women, but it is by suffering that we learn to be more patient. And that is what the Bible teaches. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, those believers in Rome at that time, he said, "Tribulation worketh patience." So that's what the Lord does in our lives. That's why he allows it, the tribulation. We shall, through much tribulation, the Bible says, enter into the kingdom of God. But the tribulation in our lives, men and women, through that tribulation, the Lord's doing a work. It's good to see that. Remember the potter, molding, making, shaping? Well, the Lord's working on your life. Not just in the good times, even in the difficult times. He's working in the tribulation. And it's not working against you. It's not what Jacob thought. All these things are against me. Remember that all things work together for good. Everything the Lord does in our lives, it's for our good. So he's working patience. That's the thing, one of the things that he wants to perfect in every one of us. So why do you suffer, brethren and sisters? Well, God is teaching you. You're in the classroom of God. And he's teaching you to wait. To wait on him. He's teaching us all to be more patient. Wait on the Lord to work. Wait on the Lord's time to work. So here are some great lessons Paul learned. Addressing the question of why do Christians suffer? Because of pride, prayer, provision, power, and patience. I'll say this to you just in closing. Can I point out to you, I said at the beginning, inevitably we ask the question, why? Why, Lord? Why did you allow this? Why did you permit this? Why are you permitting this? Can I say to you that is really the wrong question? It's a natural question, but it's not the right question. The Greeks of old, remember that many of them were known for their wisdom, their great wisdom. The Greeks said that a wise man is not one who knows the right answers. Not what we think. The wise person, they know all the answers. But the Greeks said a wise man is not one who knows the right answers, but he who knows the right questions to ask. And that's an entirely different thing. And the right question, brethren and sisters, for us as believers when we suffer is not the question, why? Why, Lord? The right question for us to ask is, what? What, Lord? We need to ask the Lord in prayer. Remember, get alone with the Lord and seek his face. What lesson, Lord, do you want me to learn? Remember, he's working in your life. He has a purpose for it. So what is it, Lord, you want me to see? What is it that you want me to understand? What is it that needs addressed in my life? What is it that's not right in my life? What is it that you want me to look at? What is it that you want me to change in my life? Is it the fact that I'm too proud? Think too highly of myself? Is it that I need to pray more, be on my knees more than I've ever been before? Is it that you want me to prove the greatness of your grace in all my experiences? Is it that I lack the patience, the patience that I need? Or do you want me to prove more your power in my life? So that's the question, men and women. If you're suffering today, and if it happens to you in the future, here's the question to ask. Here's the question to plead with God in prayer. Get down before the Lord and ask him, what is it you want me to learn? Is it one of these things? Or maybe is it all of these things? That's the right attitude, the right outlook. That's the mature scriptural outlook for us to take when suffering comes in our lives. But remember those words as I finish. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We're going to sing as we close 400.